Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. We praise God this morning because it is not just another Sunday morning, afternoon. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. And I'm crazy enough to believe that God has something in store for us today. Amen. Crazy, just crazy. Today we're talking about how disciples serve sacrificially. Disciples serve sacrificially. So let's look at a reference text. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. If you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand and someone will help you, or you can look on the screens. Matthew chapter 20, and we're looking at verses 26 and 27. Amen. Hallelujah. Disciples serve how? Sacrificially. Amen. Not superficially. Hallelujah. Not inconsistently, but sacrificially. Amen. And so we are looking at verses 26 and 27. It says, But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And so we don't get it twisted. Minister also means servant. And it says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I'll read that last verse. The Son of Man came not to be served. In other words, he didn't come to be served, although he is worthy to be served, but that's not why he came. He came to be served, and not to be served, but to serve others. Amen. As to give his life a ransom. Amen. Hallelujah. And another verse that correlates with that is Matthew chapter 10, verse 43. Amen. And so just wrote a few things down here, and I wanted us to just picture this. In this generation that is very narcissistic and self-consumed and self-preserving, it is countercultural and seemingly absurd. It's stupid to serve and cater to the needs of others. So for those of you who do not know what narcissistic means or who needs a brief refresher, for you literary buffs out there, that comes from Narcissus in Greek mythology, all right? Who remembers that, anybody? All right, okay, so Narcissus was, in Greek mythology, very, very beautiful, like incredibly beautiful, beautiful to look upon, okay? And he was told, just condensing the story, he was told that he, by a seer or a prophet of sorts, that you will be prosperous, or you will be blessed, quote unquote, or you will be fine, as long as you don't look at yourself, as long as you don't see yourself, you will be fine. What does Narcissus do? He does what he does. He goes about his day. He walks past a body of water. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's a pond. All right? And he sees his own reflection. And as he sees his own reflection, he falls in love with himself. And as he falls in love with himself, he goes to kiss his own reflection, to worship himself, too. Love on himself. And as he kissed his own reflection, he drowned. And that's very, very indicative of our culture today. It's all about loving ourselves, being in love with ourselves. And if we're going to be the servants of Christ, it's no longer I. It's no longer my preference. It's no longer what I think. It's no longer what I want. Because even the translation for servant here from the scriptures that we just read, it means bond slave. A bond slave has no rights. I know you didn't come here to hear that you don't have rights. Of course we have rights. But a bond slave, he does what he was purchased. He or she does what he or she was purchased to do by their master. Their master provides everything for them. Their master clothes them. Their master sustains them. Their master feeds them. So if that is the case, and if Jesus is our master, we ought to serve him. All right. And this is how we sound in our culture. We sound very much like this lady who I read about. There was a woman who had a husband, and her husband had a rare case of anemia. And so this rare case of anemia, they went to the doctor. And when they had gone to the doctor said, listen, this case is so rare and it's so severe that your husband could die in a few days, but it could be treated if treated properly. The good thing, the good news is that it could be treated with a proper diet and nutrition, okay? So she says, go on, I'm listening. So he begins to lay it out. He says, okay, every morning I want you to make bacon, eggs, and pancakes and all the works and hash browns and all those things. All right, just lay it on thick every single morning. All right, and then give him a wholesome lunch. And then for dinner, make sure you make him a steak and potatoes kind of dinner every single night. And you know what? Do some baking. Yeah, lots of baking, pies and cakes and all types of things like that. And by the way, his immune system is going to be very, very weak. So you're going to have to keep the house spotless. Okay? And so the doctor said, so should I break the news to your husband or should you? And she said, I'll do it. So then she looked at her husband with tears welling up in her eyes. And she said, honey, the doctor says you're gonna die. And that's how we are. You want me to do what? Okay, and I use that as a husband and wife, but it's not just about that. It's about serving others. It's about inconveniencing oneself, all right? Because that's what Jesus did, all right? He was our example, and we're talking about being whose disciples? Jesus' disciples, all right? He inconvenienced himself. He came down, all right? He came from heaven down. He inconvenienced himself. He fit in the womb of a teenage girl named Mary. He did all these things. He was born in a stable. He could have been in heaven, but he inconvenienced. He sacrificed his own luxuries just for the benefit of others. This is sacrificial. He did this for you. And he did this for me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. However, Jesus' ministry was very, very radical, okay? You had a lot of self-righteous officials, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, some of the scribes as well. And as Jesus was walking the earth, he turned water into wine. He cast out devils. He cleansed the lepers. He healed the sick. He did all these other things. And then he had the nerve to do something else. I want you to turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and let's look at verse 5. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I think I wrote it down wrong. What happens is this. Jesus turns water into wine, like I mentioned, but then he washes his disciples' feet, okay? Who can find that? I miswrote it. But anyway, he washes his disciples' feet. And so he begins to tell his disciples, do you see what I've done here? I washed your feet as an example, all right? And if I am your master and if I am your leader, all right, you have to also wash one another's feet, okay? So he's telling us, this is what I did. I modeled the appropriate behavior in education. This is modeling certain behavior, okay? This is what I want you to do. I want you to do as I did, all right? And so this is what a disciple does, all right? And so he washed the feet. So that's another way in which he sacrificed, all right, and he inconvenienced himself for the benefit of others. He did something that was very lowly, all right? What leader, what Pharisee or what rabbi would do such a thing? But Jesus did, all right? And so he did something else. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and 1. Let's do that. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and 1. We should all know this by heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living, what?
Sacrifice.
Holy, acceptable unto God. Holy, acceptable unto who?
God.
Which is your reasonable service. I beseech you, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And so Jesus came and he said, listen, I didn't just come and I just didn't heal some sick folks and raise up some dead people. I'm also coming to give my body to be broken. Just like we talk about during communion time, this is my body, which was broken for you. All right. Do this do in remembrance of me. He gave his own body, all right, for the benefit of other people. Likewise, we are to present our own bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God.
Amen. Amen.
Because it's reasonable. He said, I did this so you can also. All right. So there was a story that I had heard of. There was a man who was a part of a missionary team, and it was called Operation Mobilization. And with Operation Mobilization, it was in India. And so he had all these gospel tracts and the Gospel of John and so on and so forth. And he was really, 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 really distraught, all right? Because first of all, sometimes when you go into a foreign land, they size you up. They think that if you come from the United States, you're automatically rich. And he was just as broke as they were. So obviously there was some tension there. But they sent him to a sanitarium or a hospital. And it was uncomfortable, and it was smelly, and it wasn't all that great. So he's in India, and no one took one gospel tract, no one took one book of John, nothing from him. So he's frustrated, and now he's becoming sick. So in his coughing, because they were stationed in a place where there was lots of tuberculosis, okay? And so he started coughing at around 2 a.m., and so at 2 a.m., this horrible cough kind of kept him up. And so with his eyes halfway open, he noticed that his roommate or bedmate was an older gentleman. And he was very old and lightweight because of the tuberculosis. So as a result, to make a long story short, the older gentleman, he would get up, and then he could barely get up and lean back down because he was so tired and he was so weak because of the sickness. And so he would try to get up, and he went back down, and he couldn't. And so he began to cry. And so the missionary realized that he had done this because he was trying to get up and go to the bathroom, but he couldn't. So he went on himself. All right. A few hours later, when everybody woke up, the stench was very putrid. It was horrible. It filled the whole sanitarium. And so what happened was the people who had to tend to him were very hostile. They were mean. They had to change his sheets. They talked harshly to him. One of the attendants and the nurses even slapped him for doing such a thing. So then the next morning, he had this cough at around 2 a.m. And he saw the same thing, that same elderly man struggling to get out of bed. Now, first of all, he's weak, okay? He's tired because he's now developing this very severe cough. And he's like, listen, I know what that smelled like before. Let me just help this man out, okay? So he goes and he lifts this man up and takes him to what they call the washroom, okay? And really, the washroom is just a room with just a little hole. All right. And so he took the man there. And when he had taken the man there, he just put his arms around him and stood behind him so that the man could do what he had to do. And then afterwards, he carried him back and took him to bed. He went back to bed, and somebody woke this missionary up at 4 a.m. with a hot cup of delicious Indian coffee. That person tapped him and was pointing to the tracks. Obviously, there's a language barrier, but he was pointing to the tracks. And so one person took a track, and then they were talking among themselves, and other people took tracks, and then the nurses and the interns and all types of other people began to take the tracks because of his service. It opened up doors for him to evangelize, right? We just say, make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant. And so because of his servitude, it opened up the door for him to have further dialogue or called other people to know Jesus. And it turned out that other people accepted and received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior just because he helped somebody get up and go to the bathroom. And so what is it that we can do more of? What is it that we can do more of? Now, I want you to know now that the service can look like what I saw earlier this morning when I saw somebody picking up garbage around the church and putting it in the trash can. Service can look like a couple opening up their home on the 4th of July weekend to their church family to enjoy themselves. Service can look like the person who takes the bishop's handkerchiefs and washes them or puts labels on tracks. Service could look like that couple who takes kids out when no one knows about it to invest in them and a mentor important to them so that those children will see the love of Christ even when no one knows about it and when no one's watching. Service can look like those people who do children's church Sunday after service. Service could also look like the people who do the ushering. Service could look like those people who did the cleaning. Yesterday it was so beautiful. I had to start snapping pictures of everybody who came to help out and to do our annual church cleaning because it wasn't even about self. It was about us seeing a need and needing us meeting that need so it can be done. Amen. Service could also look like people who are doing those pickups. Amen. Hallelujah. Getting up and going and when they're tired. Hallelujah. to our neighboring supermarket, hallelujah, so that others could benefit, not just so that we could benefit, so that others could benefit, or for those who sort time and time and time again. That's what service looks like. It can look like the people who came out to evangelize yesterday and pass out tracts yesterday morning, amen, and to pray so that one more person could come and sit in the house of God today. That's what service can look like. Amen. Amen. So I want you to know that there are benefits. There are benefits of service. There are benefits of service. So while I'm not asking you to be like this gentleman and help people go to the restroom, unless the Lord leads you, all right, we want to just encourage you today. What are the things you're doing? If you're doing stuff, keep doing it. Keep doing it. Amen. It could be cooking for your neighbor or helping your neighbor clean. It could be doing a number of things that God sees and he knows that you all are already doing. Amen. And sometimes we get a little weary and well doing. God, it's like, what? Why did I do this again? And God knows that sometimes we might be on the brink of breaking down and quitting. Amen. But God is saying, listen, if you're serving me, there are benefits. All right, there are benefits. I just want to look at Romans. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we are looking at verse 1, and then we're going to look at verse 15. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Okay, so we're dead to sin. And so if we're dead to something, we can't really serve it, can we? All right, it says, 15, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Somebody say, were the servants of sin. That's right. That's past tense. Were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered you. that form of doctrine which was delivered you. All right, so since we are new creatures and all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, we are no longer servants to sin, right? Because we are dead to it. We are dead to it. And so anyway, let's talk about the benefits. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to talk about the benefits of service. All right. And I already mentioned this scripture before, but the benefits of service, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. All right. If you have it, say amen. All right. And it says, for God is not unrighteous. God sees. So the first benefit is this: God sees and won't forget. Now, man might see and may not care. Man might see and may forget. All right. But God is not unrighteous to forget. Okay, so it says, but God is not unrighteous to forget your labor, your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Okay, so what that means is, and that ye served in past tense and do serve present tense. Okay, so that means keep going, keep doing it, all right, because others are being blessed by it. Others are going to see your good works and glorify the Father which are in heaven because of your service. You might be thinking, well, you know what I'm doing is insufficient. Keep doing it, and as you get in God's face, allow God to continually place on your heart what other things you can do to serve him, amen, so that he will be glorified. That's really why we exist. It's only to glorify him, right? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So God sees and he won't forget. All right. The second one is that we will reap the benefits. Let's go to Galatians. We will reap the benefits of service. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. All right. Galatians chapter 6. And we're looking at verse 9. And it says, getting there. I'm going to back it up. Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, of those who serve their own flesh, right? When it's all about me, like Narcissus, let me kiss myself, let me serve myself, let me worship myself, let me lavish everything upon myself because it's really all about me, all right? Those who sow of the flesh shall reap corruption, but those, or he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Okay, we will reap the benefits. All right, we will reap the benefits. You may not see all the blessings right then and there. Sometimes the gratification is instant. Sometimes the gratification may not be so instant. All right, you may not see the fruit of you planting into young people until they become an adult and they say, you know, because of you, I'm a pastor now, or I'm serving Jesus. You know, that sometimes it doesn't happen overnight, but don't give up. Don't be weary in well doing. Amen. This is something I have to tell myself. Don't be weary in well doing. Amen. Hallelujah. So that is our second thing. You will reap the benefits. The third thing is that God allows us to experience the joy and peace that comes from obedience. Don't you feel good sometimes when you've served and people are like, you don't know how much I needed that. You don't know how much that blessed me. You don't know what I was going through financially and God used you to meet a need. It could be also that you call somebody to say, you know, you've been on my mind. You know, can I pray for you concerning anything? What is it? All right. That means that you receive the peace and the joy that comes from obeying. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Okay. It says, as every man hath received a gift, even so minister, okay, serve the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified, all right? Through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion, and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right. And so God is glorified when we obey. Another benefit is this. Serving allows us to see miracles. All right. In John chapter 2, and I'll just turn there just for a moment. But in John chapter 2, we have the situation where the first miracle was performed. All right. Who remembers the first miracle?
Water into wine.
Water into wine. Okay. So Jesus is in Cana. He turns water into wine. All right. But a few things happened before he had done so. Okay. In John chapter 2, it talks about how Mary, the mother of Jesus, pretty much was prodding him to go out there like, you've been doing miracles all in the house, Jesus. It's time. Go ahead. They need help. All right. Go ahead. And he's like, woman, it's not my time yet. Yes, yes. Now is the time. And sometimes the devil will try to tell us that, you know what, now is not the time, right, to serve. You know, now it's just time to cater to my needs, to my greeds, it's time for me to eat. It's time for me to sleep. It's time for me to do everything else. It's time for me to get my work done. My work is going to suffer if I help somebody else. It's not time yet. Or, you know, I'm just too tired, or maybe some other time. All right, but Jesus conferred. Okay, so here we go. And so in John chapter 2, and it says in verse 3, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus is shrugging his shoulders like, so. In verse 4, when Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servant, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. All right. She was very, very tenacious. She said, do what he says. All right. So serving allows us to see miracles. Those servants, they filled up all of these water basins. Okay. They didn't know what was going to happen because of their service. Jesus gave them commandments. And being a servant, Jesus will command us to do things that might not make sense all the time. All right. We ran out of wine. Okay, well, here's a couple of cash, you know, here's some cash, and, you know, run down the road. And no, he didn't do that. Fill up some water basins. Like, why don't you do that? That made no sense. So even if it doesn't make sense, and the Lord is speaking to you through a preached word, or he's speaking to you through your time of devotion, or he's speaking to you through a stranger that you might meet on the street, and it makes absolutely no sense, but you know it's God. And you know he's leading you to do it, serve him anyway. So when those servants filled it up, they did not know that they were to experience the first miracle, which was to be done. Likewise, when we obey, we don't know how we're going to be a conduit for one of the miracles of God. Amen? Amen. All right. Another benefit to service is that it helps us to become more like Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 14, and 14, I'm just going to turn there really quickly. Matthew 14 and 14, there are very many benefits, and I couldn't share them all with you. Amen. But there are benefits. There are benefits. Oh, God. I'm thinking of a time when this was actually last week. Yeah, was it? It was last week, I believe. And there was a pickup to be done. And we normally have it on Tuesdays and Fridays, but it was on an off day. And you know, I wanted to give my other brothers and partners a break. So I said, you know, I'll do it. All right. So I went and I did the pickup. And so when I had gone to do the pickup, I was very tired and I had a lot on my plate, but I said, I'll do it. So when I had gone, there was a young gentleman there who was new to the company, and he was helping me to load my boxes. And as he helped me to load boxes, I had on a shirt. It said, my lifeguard walks on water. He said, I like your shirt. Right? That's definitely a conversation starter. Your lifeguard walks on water. I like that shirt. And so as I'm talking to him, he's telling me, he's pouring out his guts. He's telling me that, you know, he's 19 and he went to private school all his life. And, you know, he just came back from a boys' retreat, and they share a lot of things, and they're vulnerable with one another. And I said, so what happened after that? Nothing much. And he talked about how he was a devout Catholic and so on and so forth. And so I began to ask him, so how do you feel about Jesus now? He said, oh, I believe in Jesus. And so as a result of me going there, I was able to witness to this young man. And he wasn't pushing me away. He wasn't saying, you know, I don't want to hear it. He was saying, so, you know, it's funny that you're talking to me about God, because I've been really curious about him these last few days. And so even when people would come and interrupt our conversation, he would say, what? Go on. Keep going. I'm listening. All right. You left off at this part. And so I didn't anticipate that. All right. But you know, I was able to plant and I was able to water. Amen. I was even able to give him one of Bishop's books, all right, about experiencing a new beginning. I didn't want him to get in trouble because we were out there so long talking about Jesus. But I told him it's about you not just believing in Jesus, not just knowing that he's real, all right, but you accepting him into your heart and being your Lord and Savior. It doesn't stop there. And then living a life for him, all right, because he lived his life for you. That's ultimately what it is. And so he was just so thankful. And he said, how often do you come here? as often as I need, I'll come. He said, okay. And I said, but I'll come looking for you. So, you know, that was a blessing because I made myself available. Sometimes you might think that, you know, serving may require ability. But even as Bishop has said in so many times, all right, all you need is to be available. It's availability, then it's the anointing, and the anointing brings the ability, all right? And sometimes you might be saying, Lord, there's a biannual cleaning going on. I'm not good at cleaning, but just show up. Just be available, okay? God will give you the anointing because you made yourself available, and the anointing will give you the ability to wax or dust off flowers and do all types of things that you thought you really weren't good at doing to begin with. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I had more. God will exalt you. When you're a servant, there is a level of humility that comes with service to God. Right? It's that not my will, but thy will be done. All right. And so with being humble, God says he resists the proud, but he gives grace and more grace to the humble. All right. And not only that, but he also talks about how he will exalt the humble. He will exalt the humble. And so sometimes it's just like, nobody sees me doing this. No one cares that I'm. It's okay. God sees you doing it. And God will exalt you. And when he exalts you, he does fireworks. Pop, 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 pop. All right. This thing isn't done in the corner. All right. Because you did what you did as wholeheartedly unto him. He will say, now let me show everybody else what I've been doing with you. And when he does it, you're right. You don't have to pat yourself on the back. Say, you know, that was a good job, Margaret. Okay. When God pats you on the back, everybody is going to see and know about it. Amen. Amen. And so I just wanted to encourage us today that disciples serve sacrificially. All right. If you haven't been serving, it's time to step it up. If you have been serving and got weary in well-doing, God sees and he knows. All right. And he's not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Don't quit. Don't give up. Amen. He knows. He knows. Sometimes it's like, I'm not appreciated. I'm not. God knows and he appreciates you. All right. And he will do. And my prayer is that he will do things to show you tokens of his love, to show you that he sees and appreciates you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So let us pray.